This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, not busy with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety. May all beings be at ease, whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great and the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none deceive another or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another. Even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to false views, the pure hearted ones, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So that's the Metta Sutta for everybody. I haven't chanted it in English for such a long time because we don't do it here in Bodhinyana Monastery. But when I was a layperson, I stayed in a monastery in England and they chanted it every day. So I stayed there for about half a range retreat, so I hope I still got it okay from that time back then. So welcome everybody to the Armadale group. My name is Sunyo and I'm a monk at the Bodhiyana Monastery, and this is the first time for me teaching the Armadale group, and I was hoping the first time would be in a different circumstances, as you probably all share that feeling with me, that we would be able to be together in the same room in the hospital where you guys usually meet. But unfortunately now, because of course, because of the virus, we are now all having to use Zoom, and because we need to have a physical social distance. And when I thought about this, that I had to give a talk with physical distance, I thought this is could be a simile for meditation. Because in meditation, we use mental distancing. Not physical distancing, but mental distancing. And what do I mean by that? You probably have all heard Ajahn Brahm's nice simile of the cup of water. And I've got a cup of water here. You can't see through it, but just believe me that there's water in it. Yeah. And Ajahn Brahm's simile for meditation is, you have to make the water still, so the water doesn't move inside of the cup. How do you go about that? Huh? This is one way that you could do it. Yeah, hold the cup really still as best as you can. But I can see it's still moving. So that doesn't work. So what is the solution? Maybe hold it really lightly. No, it's still moving. It still doesn't work. The solution is, and all you probably know because you've heard Ajahn Brahm talk probably 100 times giving this simile before. The solution is put the cup down. And there's only one place I can put it right now where you can see it, which is unfortunately on the shrine, but it's all right. I offer this to the Buddha. I put the cup down. Water still moving a little bit, but it's getting less. And now the water is still. Because I am not touching the cup. I am physically distancing from the cup, you could say. And in meditation it's the same. Your mind is like the water and it's moving about. And you're thinking all these things. And you just can't get still. So what do you try? You try to hold your mind still. You try to... I recognize that in myself anyway. I don't know about you, but you're probably not so much different from me. So just assuming that you're like that as well. You try to hold it still. You try to hold it in various ways. Maybe tight, maybe a bit like this. Maybe I can do it a bit wiser. But it all doesn't really work. It can get reasonably still, but it's never the kind of stillness that we're looking for. The real big peace, the really nice peace, it comes from when you don't hold your mind, when you don't touch your mind. Yeah, when you do mental distancing from your own thoughts, from your own emotions. And it's the same, really, with when you meditate and you try to relax your body. And it's also like that as well. If you send your mind out to your body and you try to control every little bit of your body, try to make everything just so, right? Just the way you want it, it will never work, I find. It's better often to meditate and take some mental distance from your body and just watch your body with your awareness. You are aware of it, but you don't try to control it. You don't try to interfere with it. Just like right now, I can't interfere with you guys. I can see you, I can hear, I can't even hear you because you are all muted, but I can see you, but I can't reach you, I can't touch you. You could try the same in meditation. You can feel your body, but don't like mentally touch it. Don't try to force it to be one way or the other. And one of Ajahn Brahm's sayings that he uses often is, make peace, be kind and be gentle. And you cannot do all those three things, make peace, be kind and be gentle. You can do all those things without having to control. You don't have to control your body or control your mind or control your meditation or control your breath. This is a big thing for people. I don't struggle with it so much, but I hear it quite a bit that people, they get the gist of meditation, they get reasonably peaceful, it's nice meditation, and then their breath comes, they start to focus on their breath, and then the instruction is just let your breath be the way it wants to be, whether it is short, you just know that it is short, if it is long, you know that it is long. This is the instruction from the Buddha in the Anapanasati Sutta, We still use that instruction these days. But some people, they find that they can't let their breath just be the way it wants to be. Because why? I think because it's like holding the cup. They're holding their breath too strongly. In that, maybe they identify with it too much or try to control it too much. Sometimes when we focus on something and something comes into our awareness, we automatically try to change it or try to have it be the way we want it. But the trick is to do this mental distancing from the breath. You're aware of it. You feel it. But you don't force it to be in any way. It's a mental thing. It's hard to explain sometimes these things in words. But you probably have some experience of what I'm saying. Mental distancing, not to take things personal. It's another way of looking at it. So don't see your breath as something so close to you. Take a bit of distance from it. And the same with all your thoughts that you may have. Maybe you're thinking about work, or you're thinking about your relations, or whatever you're worrying about, something or the other. Let's say work. Let's say you're worried about work. Then you meditate and these thoughts come up about work and you're trying to make them go away. Go away, thoughts. I don't want to have you. So you're trying to make your mind still. But instead, take some mental distance. Not just from the thought, but from the concept of work by itself. Your work is very far away from you when you're meditating, but you let it come in to your mind. So my tip or my little tool for you today is to take this distance from it. And I applied that myself earlier, just before I came up here. I was meditating in my little place in the forest, in my hut, and the thoughts came up. What am I gonna say to the Armadale group, right? This was my first time speaking. I better say something good, otherwise I waste all these people's time. That kind of thoughts, right? They happen. And then I realized, no, Sunyo, this is not the way to meditate, eh? So I took some distance from the whole concept of teaching Armadale group. I just pretended like it wasn't there, like it wasn't me who was gonna teach, or yeah, I can't put it in words, but I just took this distance from it, right? I just didn't care about it in a sense. And then the thoughts went away right away, and I didn't think about it until it was time to come up here. And when my alarm clock showed me that I had to come up here, only then I thought about it again. So this interfering we do with stuff, we interfere with the mind, we interfere like with a cup of water, right? We touch things mentally too much and try to take distance and don't touch things too much mentally. I hope that makes some sense. Because if you interfere with things too much, you create a lot of problems. Like this man I met the other day. This man was a pirate. This is a joke. I didn't really meet a pirate. I would like to meet a pirate, but so I met this pirate on the street the other day, and he had a wooden leg. He had a hook on his hand, and he had an eye patch. Wow, this was a true pirate. Only the parrot was missing, but we have those here anyway in the monastery. And I went up to him and I said, are you a pirate? And he said, arg, yes, I'm the last living pirate, arg. I said, wow, that's interesting. How did you get that leg? He said, arg, long story. We were sailing in the Caribbean Sea and I fell off the ship and a shark bit and oh, leg was off, and I put a wooden leg on, and there we go, arg. I said, wow, that's a cool story. So how about that hook? How did you get the hook? He said, arg, long story. We were sailing in the Mediterranean Sea, and we were getting boarded by another pirate ship, and we were fighting, and somebody cut my hand off. So my hand was off, and I put a hook on. Arr. And I said, wow, that's an amazing story. How about that eye patch then that you got? He said, long story again, matey. We were sailing in the Strait of Gibraltar, and I looked up because I heard a sound, and it was a seagull, and it pooped right in my eye. And I said, well, you don't have to get an eye patch just because a seagull poops in your eye. And the pirate said, yeah, all right, but that was just 2 days after I got that hook. Bazinga. So this pirate, yeah, interfered too much with his eye and hurt himself, right? So this is a meditation. Same, if we interfere too much in dumb ways, we're not realizing what we're doing, we mess things up. And this is especially true, the more deeper meditation goes, the more interfering messes things up. Yeah? Jokes are all nice and funny and joyful, but what is really nice and joyful is when your meditation gets really, really deep. There are these beautiful experiences that can happen in the mind called nimittas. And these can show themselves as lights or shapes or sometimes just feelings of love and joy. And these are very subtle experiences. And when you try to mess around with those, when you try to shape them or touch them and try to make them the way you want, then they will be gone before you know it. They are very sensitive experiences. That's getting a bit deeper though. You can apply this concept of not touching and taking mental distancing in your mind. You can take it in every level of your meditation. And maybe we should do that together right now. Do some meditation. I suppose I guide it. Is that right, Rachel? Put your thumb up. Do I guide the meditation? I do guide the meditation. So let's do that right now then. And let's all have some nice meditation. So when you're ready, and sit comfortably on your chair or whatever you sit on, then close your eyes. Because when we leave our eyes open, it's just more distractions and more things that are there for us to interfere with. By closing our eyes, we distance ourselves from all the sights. Just take some time to realize how much of your experience has already become more peaceful and more simple just by closing your eyes, something simple like that. And then let your awareness drift towards your body. Let your body come into your conscious awareness. You're aware of your body. You know it's there. But don't force it to be in any way. Because your body is very wise. And you will find if you leave it alone, if you take some mental distance from it, it will relax by itself. So give your body the opportunity to relax. All the while, you're still aware of it with kindness, with peace and gentleness, but also with this little bit of distance from it. Almost as if you're aware of somebody else's body. And if some parts of your body are tighter or more painful than others, give them extra kindness, extra care. But don't force them to be peaceful, or don't force them to be without pain. Just let them be and let them relax naturally. Right now, my neck is a bit tight because of the angle of this chair I'm not used to. So I just focus on my neck. And without doing anything, I just let it relax. Because relaxation is like the natural state of the body, if we don't interfere with it. You may find even that your body is already relaxing before you're able to be aware of certain parts of it. For example, my feet just relaxed almost before I was aware of them. This is because I wasn't interfering with my feet. I was just letting them be. And to help yourself take some distance from the body, you can tell yourself things like, the body will be fine without me controlling it. Or, the body is wise enough to know how to take care of itself without me thinking I know what to do with it, without me making it be the way I want to. Just have trust in that. And when your body starts getting more relaxed, you will probably notice that the next thing that becomes prominent in your awareness is probably, for most of you, will be thinking, thoughts inside the mind. We can apply the exact same principle to thinking. We don't force our minds to be still. We just let it become still all by itself. Maybe you have thoughts of what happened to you earlier today, or earlier this week, earlier in your life, thoughts of the past. Or maybe you have thoughts of what is going to happen later tonight or tomorrow or later, thoughts of the future. But distance yourself from both the past and the future. Past and the future, they are not what they are real. So distance yourself from those concepts. And you'll find that what is left is the present moment. There may still be thoughts coming up about the past, the future, or sometimes thoughts of the present, of what's going on right now. And again, we can apply the same principle to distance ourselves from that, distance ourselves from the thoughts. Those thoughts have nothing to do with us. They just come. We didn't invite them. See if you can do this little mental, this mental step backwards, if it were. Step back from the thoughts. Increase the distance between you and the thinking. I'll be quiet for a little bit and to have you have the opportunity to try that. See if it works. If not, don't worry. whatever is going on in your mind or in your body. It's got nothing to do with you. It's not yours, not me, not mine. It's just phenomena, parts of nature. So you can step back from them. With kindness. And with love and peace. With acceptance. Kindness, love, peace, and acceptance are just four words for the same thing, the same emotion. Emotion of happy to be here. And as you're relaxing, by not interfering, it may be that the breath comes into your awareness. The movement of your belly or the air passing through your nose. If it does, welcome the breath with kindness. If it doesn't, you can look for it. Find the breath and invite it in. Invite it into your awareness. And just like a good friend that you invite over to your place for a cup of tea or something, you don't tell them where to sit or what to say, what to do. No. You just have them do what they want because they're your friend. You treat them with kindness and love. And it's the same with the breath. You don't say to your breath, be like this, be like that, be longer, be shorter. No. Just let it be. Be aware of it without interfering. And I will leave you with those instructions for about 15 more minutes to just meditate by yourself. You can also do whatever other meditation technique you feel is appropriate for this moment. And after 15 minutes, I will end the meditation. So, the meditation is coming to an end, but before you come out, just check up on upon yourself how you're feeling now. And compare it to how you felt before meditating. And you'll find 99% of the time that you're more peaceful, more at ease with the world and with yourself. And that is such a nice feeling. Even a little bit of peace. So nice. Just recognize how nice it feels. Just that little peace that you've created. Or better, that you didn't create, but that just came about by you not interfering with things. How does it feel now? And then try to take some of that peace with you out of meditation. Try to take it into the rest of your evening or the rest of your day. And now, slowly come out of your meditation. Don't have a bell here, so bing. That's the end of the meditation. Ah, you want to do it again? So I hope you've all experienced a little bit of peace by by taking this distance from your thoughts and from your body. And I know I did. At some point I was here sitting and thinking about teaching meditation. Because that's what I'm doing now. Yeah, that's what I was doing, sort of. And I had to take some distance from that as well. I had to sort of imagine like I wasn't here, in a sense. I had to, yeah, it's hard to put this thing into words when you're talking about emotions, but I had to pretend like I wasn't teaching the Armadale group and distance myself from that whole concept so I could forget about it for a while at least, even if it's just a couple minutes, you know. And that worked pretty well. And at some point I was thinking, I've got the best job in the world. I'm just meditating. I also have the worst pay, though. Because monks, we don't earn any money, but we earn a lot of other great benefits, like all the happiness that I get from people like you, from being able to teach these great things. So am I supposed to talk a bit more, or?
Yes, please. If you want to take questions, that's fine, or comments, but a talk from you would be wonderful if you would like to keep going.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see how we go. But one thing that I would like to say is I've always With guided meditation, I've always had a bit of this double-sided relationship. You know, guided meditation can be really nice sometimes, but for me, often what the monk is teaching, or the nun, it doesn't sometimes not apply to the state of mind that I am in at that moment. So often I am with Ajahn Brahm, for example, in Nanamara on the Friday or Saturday, and there's guided meditations. And he guides you through it and says, you do this, you focus on your body, etc., etc. And I find sometimes, like 50% of the time I'm not listening. I'm just doing my own thing. Because I've learned by now to check my mind and my heart and the way I'm feeling. And I know what to do, and it doesn't always align with what is being taught in a guided meditation. And I'm saying that for all of you right now, or maybe in future sessions, when I'm teaching guided meditation, always feel free to do something else, because you know what your mind is like much better than me. Maybe this idea that I've given you, this tool, you could call it a tool that I've given you of mental distancing, maybe it didn't click. Yeah. And then if you would try that for 30 minutes and it doesn't click, then you just almost wasted 30 minutes there. Yeah? Because I know all of you, I recognize some of you, and I've seen you many times before. I know you're all experienced meditators. You know what to do. Yeah, so have to trust in yourself as well, not just in the monks or the nuns. But, you know, it's nice for me to be able to give you some extra ways to look at things. Yeah, in the end, it all comes down to the same principle of making peace and finding joy within. There's different ways to go about that, and different ways to look at it. And this was just one way to distance yourselves from the experiences that you're having. So I hope that made some sense. Maybe try it again in the future if you feel like it. And But don't feel like you have to, because Sunyo said so. Yeah? Because do your own thing, whatever works for you. And I think it will be a nice time now for some questions. And hopefully some answers, I can't promise, but we'll see. So do I have to click?
Questions? Comments?
More a comment, Venerable, but I really appreciated the analogy that you used with physical distancing being, you know, part of what we're living with at the moment, and applying it to the body, applying it to the mind, applying it to thoughts, emotions. It was a really nice and felt very contemporary way of explaining an ancient practice. And I also really liked, and it clicked for me at the beginning when you invited, when you said, you know, you might say to yourself something along the lines of, oh, you know, my body knows how to look after itself, I don't need to do anything. And I found that useful in terms of the breath, because I do find my mind at times wanting to control the breath. So I found that just applying the same sort of reminding myself, you know, it very explicitly was quite useful. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, you're welcome. And thanks for the nice comment. And as I said, yeah, this is you called it an ancient principle, right? And it is. Especially when it comes to the breath, we find the Buddha, he taught exactly this, to just look at the breath and don't try to make it more however you want it. Just let it be and see whether it is long or short. That's how the Buddha thought, like see if it's long or short and you just know. Yeah, the Buddha doesn't say change it from one into the other. And this principle of not interfering, not not changing things. Yeah, it applies to so many levels of meditation life. And you say, yeah, it's a contemporary approach maybe, but I've used the principle behind it for a long time. Just to step back from things, you know, especially from thinking, it can be very useful. If you get good at stepping back from thinking, the thoughts, they can stop so quickly, really, because you just know how to find the distance, and the further you're away from your thoughts, it's almost like the more you increase the distance, the less you can hear them, right? As if you are literally walking away from it almost. Yeah. So thanks.
Any more comments? I thought it was very interesting, Venerable, when you said, and I would like to support Catherine said really, but your comments about we touch things mentally too much. I thought, yes, that's me.
That's everybody.
Especially, so, and just we interfere with things too much and mess things up. So the physical mental distancing was great, but associated with the we're just interfering too much. I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah, you said that's me, but I think that's everybody can relate to that to some extent. Because it's natural that we want to control things in life. And it's natural that we try to make things the way we want them to be. This is the whole point of the Buddha's teachings. He says in one very famous text, the Buddha says about the body and about the thoughts and the feelings, he says that it's like natural to think, let them be like this and let them not be like this. You try to control them in that way, the Buddha said. Why is that? Because we think we have more control over things than we actually do. We think we are so wise and so skillful that we can make our mind and body exactly right. But it's not like that. We don't have that kind of control. The mind is just much wiser by itself, as you said. If you don't touch it, it knows what to do. Yeah? And the Buddha said it's this sense of, it's too much sense of ego, there's too much sense of self involved often in our life. And because of that, we think that we can that we can control things. But this is very much an illusion. And the deeper your meditation goes, the more you will see the truth in this. Yeah. As I said before, when the meditation gets deeper and deeper, you might have these lights coming up in a meditation. And this will happen to all of you at some point if you continue meditating, or probably have already experienced this. And this is where it becomes really clear that controlling and touching things interferes with the whole process of peace. Because there, it's almost like if you try to touch it, try to interfere with the meditation at that point, you get immediate feedback that this isn't working, because it immediately stirs up the mind. It immediately makes it more active and less peaceful. When you are still thinking a lot and your body is in your awareness and there is the future and the past, if you try to control things at that point, you often don't really notice how much you're messing things up, because it's still so much going on. You think that you're actively making things more peaceful by interfering. Yeah? And to some extent, maybe you can at that point in meditation. But as meditation gets deeper, interference becomes more and more of a problem. But also, it becomes more and more clear that it is a problem, because you'll see it better, how much that can and make your mind less peaceful. And you'll notice that if you create a little bit of distance between you and your meditation, that the mind will automatically tend towards peace and settle down. Yeah, as I said, with the cup of water. If you don't touch it, it's been sitting here now for half an hour. It was really peaceful, this cup, and now I pick it up again. But you know, if you put it down, it'll become peaceful. Same with the mind. You put it down, it'll become peaceful. And maybe you're thinking, I do that, Sunyo. I do that always, but it's still not becoming peaceful. Then you're not really putting it down. You might think you are, but somewhere in there, you're still holding on, or you're still trying to control things. Maybe you're holding it, like I said before, just little on the edge. The mind, you hold it on the edge, and it still won't become peaceful. So in the end, just have to let go. And as I said during the meditation, a great way to do this is to just have the faith and the trust that if you let go, that things will turn out all right. Things will be good if you don't interfere. Often we think if we just control and make things the way that we want to, that things will be better. But often, well, in my experience anyway, it just messes things up. But this is true in life, but especially true in meditation. So, yeah. I think I'm saying the same thing in 100 different ways, but in the end, it will come down to your experience, and you will probably be able to see what I'm talking about. Yeah, as I said before, emotions, yeah, it's hard to put into words. And I struggle with that always when I have to teach meditation or Dhamma, and I find it hard to bridge the gap, but yeah, I already had two positive comments, so I think you can relate to the things I'm saying on some level at least. So, yeah.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Yeah, I'll go for it. Well, that reminds me of, this is when you get into sort of quantum theory, and they say if you observe anything, like you said, touching, but even if you observe, if you look at something, you're changing it. Because if there's a light source and you want to measure how bright the light is, you've got to have a sensor to measure that. As soon as you do that, that sensor is going to absorb some of that light and it's changing the source. If you try to measure a sound, if you try to measure anything, if you look at something, you're changing it because you're absorbing some of the energy source from that into your eyes, and that changes into signals so that you can. So yeah, that's true. I've never sort of connected that with meditation at that subatomic scale. So yeah, you can't not change anything. Even if you look at something, you're changing it.
Okay, yeah, I know.
Would be the expert on that.
Sorry?
Ajahn Brahm would be an expert on that subject because he's done physics, yes.
Yeah, I did a little bit of that. I did precision engineering university, and it becomes so small that you have to know a bit. But I don't know enough to make any wise comments right now. I've never connected it to meditation. Yeah. But maybe.
But that's what you said when you were saying what Catherine and Rachel said, sort of distance, so keep away from things. If you touch anything, it's going to go poof, off. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Pinder.
That's all right. No problems.
Anybody else? Anybody just like to give feedback on what a lovely meditation is?
The other thing was about when you're saying, Venerable, about if you're not in tune with the teaching at that particular time, you can sort of, and if you're slightly experienced, or if you, even if you're not all experienced, sort of, you can go off on your own as long as you're not going to dreamland and you're dreaming and
yeah.
about things. But if you sort of go into that, and that's also using, and it's quite okay because it's not like being at school. If you're doing something else and the teacher comes by and says, hey, what are you doing? Yes, it's your mind. And as long as you are disciplined enough and not go wandering around, so that's, you don't have to follow that if you're not clicking with it, as you were saying, yes.
Yeah, and it's for all these teachings that the monks and nuns are giving, and the lay people as well are giving, sometimes they don't click at the point that they are given, but maybe later on you will be able to relate with it much better. Yeah, I've had that quite a bit with meditation teaching. Sometimes I'm like, I don't feel it when it's being thought, but then later on in my meditation it just sort of almost subconsciously comes up. And I apply those kind of techniques that I've heard maybe long before, a long time ago. And so maybe the same with this as well. Maybe you're subconsciously, I've brainwashed you, and subconsciously you will apply this kind of techniques. I don't even like to call it techniques really, because it's just the way that the mind also works automatically to take distance from it. When I was teaching meditation, I was all the time saying, you distance yourself from things, or you don't interfere with things. But when I'm teaching like that, I'm still on the level of you. Yeah. But at some point, the mind will start doing this automatically. It will automatically know what to do, and it will distance itself from, for example, the thinking all by itself, because you've gone through this whole process of meditation so many times that you don't really need to instruct your mind anymore with any techniques or skills or whatever. You just sit down and let it all flow, basically, and then these kind of ideas come up by themselves, these kind of techniques. The mind just does it by itself because it realizes how to become more peaceful. Because, as I said before, the mind is much wiser than ourselves, right? And at some point it's so wise that it just knows how to meditate much better than we do. And it just automatically tends towards peace with whatever techniques it needs to do. It's like creativity almost. You don't do creativity, no? When maybe some of you are painters or writers or whatever, you'll know that in a creative process, all the good ideas, you don't make them happen, they just come. They just come to you at some point in time. And it's the same, very much similar in meditation, that the mind just does it. You know, it just comes up with the right attitude, the right technique or approach all by itself, and you don't need to really do it so much. Yeah, this is also one reason why with guided meditation sometimes I don't listen, as I said before, because it just, my mind is inclined in another way all by itself, and if I even try to apply certain techniques, it already messes it up in a way, because it's already interfering. Sometimes these tricks of, like I say, take distance and don't interfere, but sometimes that itself can be an interference. Yeah, sometimes that itself can be a control. So you have to, at some point the mind will be able to go beyond all that and just find peace all by itself.
Thank you.
Anybody else want to say anything? Thank you, Pinda.
That's okay. Welcome.
I'm just going to mute you, Pinda. Anybody else? David, Marlene, who else have we got? Kayleen, Julie, Bob, Doug, Robin, Lynn? Anybody? No?
Everybody's so peaceful.
Yeah.
From the meditation.
Yeah. You can finish it there tonight if you'd like, Venerable. And I think it was a beautiful meditation. Thank you. And I liked your concept when you finish, too much sense of self involved in our lives. Mm. Yes.
All right. Yes. Well, thank you, everybody, then, for listening. People who meditate, I love all those people. And I love it that you are spending this evening with me, although, yeah, we can't be together. We're still in the same mindset, so in a sense, we are together. And I just really appreciate that and want to say that. And I hope you all can take something out of the things that we have been discussing and to move towards more peace in your life and the life of others. And yeah, that's that's all I have to say on that.
Thank you all. And it does feel as though we are, well, to me, it feels as though we are together. You're in my living room with me. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh.
Very true.
It feels fantastic to me, actually, closer than if we were in a big room together. So thank you so much for being willing to come on Zoom. It's been wonderful.
It was really easy for me this morning when the monks were talking about who is going to teach Armadale, and my name came up. I said, oh, who's driving me? driving me from my hut to the office. But it was just 1 minute walk, so easy for us as well. I'm happy that you get the same kind of positive vibe out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I certainly do. Yeah, it's great. So thank you very much. It's been great. So on behalf of the group, I'd like to thank you and thank everybody else for coming along. And we'll be back again next week on Tuesday night for the same time. Bring a friend.
Yep, with one of my fellow monks. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Venerable.